Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore and Anne Baldwin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Connection. I am one of your co-hosts, Anne Baldwin, president of Baldwin Media.
And I'm Lisa DeMattis-Lepore, CEO and president of The Connection.
We got two presidents in the room, man.
Hi, president.
Yeah.
Female power.
Isn't it great, though? Isn't it great to work your way up in an organization like you have at The Connection? And, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of like back to my reporting days. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel that I earned my stripes. I was a fat weather girl in Cheyenne, Wyoming. That was my first job out of college.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. But in Wyoming, everybody's kind of fat. So it kind of worked out, right? So, you know, and then from there, I went to Springfield, Massachusetts, and then I ended up at NBC in Hartford. So, you know, you really kind of got to earn your stripes. And you did the same thing.
I did.
You started out on the clinical side at The Connection.
I did.
And
I know.
From there, many years later?
26, I think.
You've been there 26 years.
26, 27. Wow. I lost count.
Yeah.
Oh, 27. 27 in April.
Wow.
April.
That's amazing. And now you're the president and CEO and great things are happening at The Connection. That's just fantastic.
It's been a great career. It's been a wild ride, but a great ride. And mostly because of the clients that we help in the community and the success of those folks from even the first program I was hired for, Halley House. Still in contact with those women and those children that were born there are right in their 20s and thriving and doing great and in college, out of college. And so, yeah. You know, treatment works. That's a good example.
It does if you have the right resources. And,
exactly.
And that's what we talk about on this program because, you know, whether it's coming out of incarceration, whether it's drug abuse, you know, and at The Connection, you treat the whole family, which is interesting. And you've been around long enough to see the results of effective treatment, which is fantastic.
And I think it's apropos for the topic we're talking about today, because I think definitely one of the important things for folks getting their life together and getting in recovery is really having someone who's a coach and a role model that they can look up to and see that treatment works. And even though it's difficult, that, you know, there's hope to move forward and really change your life and have a better existence, and that you can change your roadmap irregardless of how old you are, what happened. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying that there are people out there who are true role models. And we have a great guy here today, a mutual friend who's a role model to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how you met Rob Rudowitz.
Rob Rudowitz.
There he is.
I met him back in the day when I was at Channel 30 out on the streets doing news reporting. And Rob was in his uniform and, you know, we'd run into each other at crime scenes or whatever it might be. And then Rob, when I started my business, hired us to do some media training for law enforcement. So we go way back.
Well, thank you for that.
Way back. And we can say, Rob, and you said we can say this, that you're also a person in recovery, as am I. And it's great because we want to talk about recovery coaches today. And Lisa just hit on a really good point, because my alcoholism didn't really kick into full gear until I was 50. And I'm 57. And I got 7 years sober, right? So regardless of your age, it's never too late to get the support. And one of the hardest things for me to do in the beginning was to walk into the rooms. And had I known about recovery coaching, I probably could have saved myself about $40,000 between detox and rehab. Had I had this option or had it been around, but I don't know that recovery coaching was around 7 years ago, was it?
The idea was, the concept was, but it has really taken off over the last probably 4 or 5 years maybe. And it's really taken off as a process of change to help folks find their recovery. And we'll get into that a little bit more.
So for our listeners, why don't we start by defining what a recovery coach is?
You know what? I want to talk a little bit about what recovery is.
Okay. Let's start there.
You know, because recovery, I think people have misconceptions about what recovery is. I think that people think that as long as we stop drinking or doing drugs or whatever it is, whatever it is that we're recovering from, that we're in recovery. And recovery really is a process of change to improve our health and wellness. Now, for the person, now I don't want to confuse anything, but for the person in recovery, I like CCAR's definition, because CCAR defines recovery as if someone says they're in recovery, they're in recovery.
And we should mention CCAR is a Connecticut Community for Addiction Recovery.
Right.
A great organization that does great work as well. That is a good definition, because you don't argue that, right? You don't say if someone says, I'm in recovery, then you're in recovery. And that's really, in a lot of cases, step one.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that just to kind of differentiate what we were just talking about, I'm talking about, you know, from the sort of the outside perspective, the person who is watching the addict or the alcoholic, if they stop drinking, then they are in recovery. For the alcoholic and the addict, it requires that sort of process of change. But it starts with the person saying, I'm in recovery.
Does it also start with someone saying, I want this? I want to get sober. I want to stop what I'm doing. I mean, I remember laying in bed at night praying to God, said, please don't let me drink tomorrow. And then tomorrow would come and I would drink. You know, so that's the other component of it, isn't it? Isn't it? Because, you know, like I said, I mentioned the $40,000 price tag. You know, I had the means to go to a rehab. Not everybody does. And so that's where I think, too, you know, this recovery coaching in your home is so much more approachable and so much more doable for the average addict or alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. And I think that going away to treatment is really discovery. And the recovery occurs when you're out, when you're in your environment, when you're out living your life in your community, in
that's
your
right.
workplace, in your homes. That's where real recovery takes place. The idea that somebody needs to say that they want it, critical. It's a critical piece. If somebody does not believe that they have a problem, but yet there are all these other indicators, then I think that that's where recovery coaching comes into play, because someone may be on the fence. They may be thinking, I don't have a problem, right? They may be thinking, it's everybody else's problem. If she would get off my back, if the boss would not do this, if everybody, you know, it's everybody else's problem but mine. Recovery coaching comes in where we can help them find that sort of that fence to be on, so that we look at it from both perspectives. Okay, you don't have a problem, but how do we account for it, all these things that are going on in your life? Do you have these problems when you don't drink? And the answer typically is no. You know, anything that, any sort of bad things that happen when I'm drinking, when I'm using drugs. That's typically the answer. So we try to create that discrepancy for folks so that they can start to look at it and go, all right, well, maybe I need to change, but I don't know how. I don't know how to change. And that's part of the recovery coaching process.
And Lisa, you see this all the time with your programs at The Connection. And, you know, folks that say it's everybody else's problem, but when you've got 2-3 DUIs and you're doing jail time and you're coming out and starting all over, I mean, that's also the resources that you help these people with. So to Rob's point, it's when you get out. It's when you get back into your environment.
That's
and
when
your,
the real
and
work starts.
People, places, and things, right?
That's when the real work starts. You know, seeds are planted, and, you know, treatment is great. And I obviously, that's what we do at The Connection. At the same time, a lot of work really happens when you leave. That's when you have to really apply some of those techniques. But it's more than just education. It's about getting hooked up with others who understand what you've been through. It's about going, I'm a supporter of, you know, 12-step programming. So
I am too.
You know, having, you know, doing that, whether you need a, you know, whether you need a sponsor or not. But that's the point, though, is you have to have assistance moving forward, because you're dealing now with life as it comes without going to drugs or alcohol or something else to sort of not deal with it. And so how do you do that again? And that's really scary for a lot of folks. You know, a lot of people are afraid to leave treatment. You know, oh, it's if I leave, I'm going to relapse. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do when I get out of here, even though I've been clean for however long?
Well, yeah, and it's not hard to do, right? You're locked into a facility or a house or wherever. wherever the treatment center is, and you got
safe.
And you're safe, and you got 28 days, and you can, you know, yeah, it's a great accomplishment. Getting 28 days under your belt is a great accomplishment. But if you don't have the plan in place and the resources when you get out, trust me,
that's when you need it.
That's when you need it, because there's the relapse danger. What's it like, Rob? What is the reaction when you go into people's homes? Because that's where you do the recovery coaching.
Well, that's, yeah, in my particular case, that's where we do it, and it really creates a safe environment for them. For the folks that we treat, because not, you know, 12-step program was mentioned, and 12-step program saved my life, and it saves many people's lives.
Amen.
But it's not for everybody. Not everybody gravitates towards that initially. And there are some, you know, some differences between recovery coaching and 12-step program, where the 12-step program focuses solely on the 12 steps.
Focuses
solely on, you know, following the tenets of that particular 12-step program. Recovery coaching is sort of more holistic, and it kind of looks at the whole person. One of the big differences between recovery coaching and, say, 12-step sponsorship is, you know, a 12-step, kind of the old school 12-step sponsor is going to say, you know what, I know better than you, so you need to listen to me. You need to follow this recipe right here that's in this book, and if you do, you're going to be okay. And so we're, in effect, telling someone how to find their recovery. In recovery coaching, we kind of take it from the standpoint of, we're going to let it be self-directed in many ways, and we're going to find out what works for that person and where their comfort zone is in terms of developing their own pathway, because there can be multiple pathways to recovery. 12-step program is one of them.
And there's nothing to say you can't do a combination of things. That's what I do. I mean, it's whatever works for you. It's right. And you know, for me, I found a home group years ago. I feel comfortable there. I feel like I've got support there. So that's great. What is the information? Because we're about halfway through the program, Rob. If people want more information on your recovery coaching program,
I would suggest that they go to CCAR website, because that's where the real information is. Now, if you're talking about for the company that I work for, that's Aware Recovery Care, and they can go to awarerecoverycare.com and find out information about in-home treatment for services.
Okay, and we should also mention that the Connection has resources on their website. You know, today we're talking about recovery coaching, but for any issues that you that are listening or your family members might have, they've got a great website as well. It's The Connection Inc., all one word, theconnectioninc.org. And they also have a toll-free helpline. And if you call that and you don't get a person, or you leave a message, someone gets back to you
immediately.
And that number is 855-435-7955. How long of a program is your recovery coaching program?
You know what? There is no timeline to it. If you engage with an individual, depending on where they're at, because, you know, somebody can have multiple years of recovery and benefit from a recovery coach.
So tell Rob, talk about a little bit sort of the meat and potatoes about how this works.
But take us through a typical day of a recovery coach.
All right. So depending on where the person is at, we are going to sit down, we're going to engage, and we're going to find out where they are at in their sort of stage of change. Okay, so we've heard of the stages of change, and if somebody is in that what's called the pre-contemplative state, where they are just, I don't have a problem, and they're in full-blown denial, we're going to take the approach of trying to develop that discrepancy that we want to get them to. We want to get them to that point where they're looking at two alternatives. You know, maybe I have a problem and maybe I need to change, but I don't know how. So that's a good starting point, is to help them sort of discover where, how they want to change. And the way that I do this is by asking them, where do you want to be in 5 years from now? Because typically the person we're dealing with is, you know, in a hole. They're in a difficult position. Maybe they're losing their job. They're losing their family. Maybe they're, you know, they've been arrested. Whatever the case may be. And so if I ask the question, where do you want to be in 5 years? They'll typically say, I want my job back. I want my family back. I want to get this court case, you know, resolved. And so the next question would be, what's preventing you from getting there? And it'll turn on that light bulb for them to think or say, well, my drinking, because my drinking got me to this point. Okay. And so that would be my next question. What got you to this point? Right. And it's already been answered in a way, but I want to get them to verbalize it. Mm-hmm. So that kind of starts the process.
And then what? What happens after that? So if that pre-contemplation, if they're not at that step, what's next?
If they're not at the pre-contemplation, if they're still in denial,
or
they're getting to that point where we're developing discrepancy, yeah. we're gonna build upon that, and we're gonna try to help them answer their own questions. You know, through motivational interviewing, which is a technique for helping individuals, particularly with drug and alcohol addiction problems. And so we want them, it really is self-directed through the process of, and it might be something as simple as somebody mentions they want to continue drinking and they're going to try to control it. They're going to use controlled drinking.
Good luck with that.
And you know what? But we say to them, okay,
really?
Let us know how it works.
How's that working
let
for
us,
you?
Let us know how that works for you. And maybe we'll come up with a harm reduction plan in a sense of, okay, if you want to try this, if you're drinking 7 nights a week, see if you can drink 5 nights a week. Take 2 off. You know? But it gets a little tricky because if somebody is drinking every night of the week, they may need detox.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So you know, and detoxing from alcohol is dangerous. So,
absolutely.
You know, there's medical issues that need to be considered as well.
It's one of the most dangerous things to detox from.
It is.
Alcohol. More deaths come from not detoxing properly from alcohol than
right.
any other drug. So,
right. And there's a high risk of seizure.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, for example, when I went to rehab with my interventionist, you know, he fed me vodka the whole flight. And I thought, wow, this is a great trip. You know, if this is detox and rehab, I'm in. But, you know, it was because of the dangers of not doing it properly. So that's something that people have to really take into consideration.
Yeah. So just to kind of get back to Lisa's question about, you know, where do we go from there? Well, our process, mm-hmm. the recovery coaching process is just that. It is a starting point. Depending on where they are at in the stage of change.
Which is key. This is key.
It's huge. It's huge.
It
we need to know where they're at in the stage
huge.
Of change.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're helping them develop discrepancy so they can start to see through their own denial, and that's really what it's about, we want to help them develop their own recovery capital. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by recovery capital is they need to develop some of the internal resources in order for them to have the confidence, the belief, I should say, that they can do this, that they can recover. Because, you know, a person, depending on where they are, when they're first seeking help, could be in a deep, dark hole. You know, when we jump in with them and we say, we've been here, we're going to show you the way out. Depending on where they're at, you know, the developing the recovery capital might be helping them develop that self-efficacy, the belief that they can do this.
Without breaking confidentiality, obviously. Can you give me, and Lisa and our listeners, can you give us an example of how somebody got into the recovery coaching and some positive results?
I mean, I have, you know, individuals that I've worked with who, you know, in the beginning, you know, they're just coming out of a facility. And they're at that point where they don't know how their life is going to get better because they're suspended from work, they're out of their homes. And you know, if we, as we start to build upon what was established in the treatment program, by getting them to understand the disease concept, by getting them to understand where they are at in their own initial recovery process, finding out what resources they need, you know, it just kind of builds upon. And part of it might be go to a 12-step program. Mm-hmm. Part of it might be, you know, the recovery capital that they need to initially build might be getting their health back. That's recovery capital.
I think this model is amazing. I really do, for a variety of reasons, for all the clients that we've served, because I really think that there is something so strongly to be said about a holistic approach and really meeting the person where they are and guiding them, not being like a parental, you do this or, mm-hmm. or I'm, you know what, that doesn't work. I'm sorry. I know. I mean, that would not work for me.
No, and there's a concept that we use in the recovery coaching where we want to make sure that we're treating people as resources, not as objects.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, if someone is telling me that I have to do something a certain way, I'm probably going to resist it.
Knowing
myself.
Yeah. You
know, well, don't tell me, you know, I have to do something.
Right. And most people, I think, with alcoholism or drug addiction, you know, they have that strong. And they've probably been told, you know, by other people, family members, you know, what you have to do and do this and do that. And that is part of the problem. It's a disease. Yeah. Alcoholism is a disease. And I think it has to be treated as such.
Yeah. But I think you're empowering. You know what you're doing, Rob? You're empowering the individual
to take control
of their life.
Good word. And the way we go about doing that is asking them, what do you think is going to work for you? Mm-hmm. Let's start to develop a wellness plan, okay, so that we could start to look at different components of your life, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, financial, familial,
nutritional,
employment-based.
This is why it's so great.
All sort of components of it. And, you know, someone may be in a position where they got a great job, they haven't lost it, they're financially secure, but man, their family is a mess. And physically, they're a wreck.
This is like a life coach and a lot.
Right.
This is what it is.
Yep. Right.
I need a life coach.
I do too. Well,
yeah.
I mean, you're not even in recovery,
well,
Lisa.
Well, you know what?
You know, it's a great thing to have someone else come in and take a look from the outside and with the tools and with the, you know, the proven methods of recovery coaching.
This is why for you, Rob, because Rob was a colleague. We worked together for many years. He's so compassionate about this work and he's such a role model and he's so honest. And to have folks like Rob in your life as a role model is so key, because it's hard not to look up to someone like Rob. Mm-hmm.
Only because I'm tall.
Well, hey,
it's so great, just again, to have that peer support and to do it and to feel it in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I have to stay focused on is, you know, in being in this kind of a position and being in this business, is that I also have to pay attention to my own recovery.
Right.
And that, because I'm an advocate of recovery, that is not my program of recovery per se.
Right.
You know, and I look at recovery as a lifestyle, mm-hmm. not a program. Recovery really is a lifestyle. And so I have my own recovery coach to make sure that I'm paying attention to my own wellness, to my own recovery capital that I've built up over the years, and that I could certainly lose. You know, I always say that I'm one bad decision away from being in a place I don't want to be.
You know, and that's interesting too, because I know when I've been approached by people that want recovery or looking for advice, it does have an impact on me and my recovery. And I like what you said, Rob, because I have to refocus on, while I want to help this person or give them some advice, I got to pay attention to me too, because that can't replace what I'm already doing, right? It's really important.
It goes to the old saying, you can't give away what you don't have.
Exactly. Rob, why don't you give out your information again,
yeah,
if people
please.
Are interested in the program?
Well, I mean, if anyone is interested in individual recovery coaching, I would recommend they go directly to the Connecticut Community for Addiction Recovery, because they have a volunteer base. Recovery coaches that they use within the community. If someone is looking for in-home based treatment, Aware Recovery Care is the premier treatment program for in-home addictions-based treatment,
and that's in Connecticut.
In Connecticut and New Hampshire, actually.
That's wonderful.
Connecticut, New Hampshire, because this is a superpower radio station.
Yeah,
we're reaching people in Massachusetts and all over the place. So
give us the contact info, Rob, again for Aware.
It would be awarerecoverycare.com, and that you would get all of the information that you need right from the web.
Okay.
Including phone numbers and hotlines.
Great.
So that's in-home care, recovery coaching for those of you in addiction, seeking assistance. And also, just another reminder for folks out there, for any services you or your family may need with mental health and or addiction services, you can contact The Connection at theconnectioninc.org. And we also have our toll-free hotline, 855-435-7955.
7955, which is also help.
Yeah.
That stands for help. But I don't like giving out phone numbers with a word, because then I can never figure it out.
Yeah. And I believe...
That's my addiction, right? I can't figure out the numbers.
I believe that there's a tremendous role for recovery coaching within especially residential programs, because it has a multitude of impact on mm-hmm. clients.
To me, this is, Rob, closing the loop. I mean, the loop is ongoing. The care is ongoing. But that's why Rob and I actually have a meeting coming up next week, because we're going to be talking about this model and how it will impact the clients that we serve. And I'm in a huge support of what Rob's doing. And that's why I'm really happy to have him on the show today.
Absolutely. It's just one step closer, because back to the point, if you're in a program or you've got some time under your belt, what's next? And it can't hurt. You know, even my daughter, when she goes to a meeting with me, or, you know, I share with her some of the information of the program, she's like, I like that. You know, it's good for life. I mean, these are life skills that sometimes people just need some help looking at. And again, it's the nutritional thing. I never looked at my nutrition or holistic approach.
Yeah, I think that there's a tremendous role for recovery coaching in residential programs, in treatment facilities, you know, kind of across the board, because it does differ from sponsorship. It does differ from addictions counselors, because again, it takes a holistic approach. And the majority of recovery coaches that I've come across are all in recovery themselves. And so, you know, there's a tremendous impact that a peer-to-peer can have on an individual.
I'm an absolute supporter of this model, Rob, and I really feel that this is the piece that's so missing when folks get out of treatment because they don't have this in their life. And I really can't support it enough. So I'm really grateful that you're doing this work and that you're here to promote this model, which I think is really key to getting better.
Right. Continued success. Thanks for sharing the news about your program.
Thanks, Rob.
And we want to thank all of you for listening to another edition of The Connection right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.